And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name is Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And we live in good times. Andy, I think being a Richmond supporter has always had its ups and downs for very long periods of time. There were more downs than ups, but there was always, you know, things that provided light in the darkest days. And one of those things has been a superb tradition of key forwards. But unfortunately, it seems, despite my best efforts and the efforts of the DNA.com, I can't seem to find any link with Tom Lynch to Tasmania, because that's the only thing preventing him from being perfect.
He's amazing. Actually, just last night, I was talking to someone, and I said, oh, you know, because they're into what wags, and I said, I'm really, that stuff I'm fine with, but I'm not interested. I couldn't even tell you whether Tom Lynch is married. And then I started thinking about it, I thought, I actually care whether Tom Lynch is married, because he is essentially the perfect footballer. I, you know, should be in the breeding program to have kids, because, you know, he's probably going to get to 100 year games with us. He's got a 7-year contract. He is sort of almost perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a large, beautiful man. I'm not going to...
And he even misses your shot of goal, just to wind you up.
Actually, I've got a cute little statistic on for that later, but yeah, he's just a rampaging footballer at the moment, and yeah, I love it. And look, falling in love with the next gun key forward is I think it's unique and special every time. I mean, you know, Richo was this incredible, precocious athlete, you know, kicking 30 goals as a teenager. Jack was a slightly slower burn, but yeah, extremely lovable.
Lovable early on, because he was a VFL star. I don't know if you remember that, but like he had a great year in a VFL where they made the grand final.
Yeah, played finals.
That's a way to become lovable, is but star in the become the next big thing in the VFL.
But he wasn't, so like, you know, Delidio never played a game of AFL because he was just such an elite athlete and pretty good footballer. He was able to slot straight in, whereas Jack was more of a slow burn, and you know, we still had Richo. And Tom Lynch, obviously, he's coming in as a 26-year-old. The whole pre-season was spent watching him run laps. It's been quite different, and you know, and the fact that not a lot of people watched his best football playing for the Suns, and so yeah, and I appreciated it intellectually. Like his best a couple of years ago, and it has been a couple of years, was extremely good. But it's still, I'm still blown away. I'm loving it.
There was a moment. You know, probably a moment that, I mean, we all saw most of his good things, but there was a moment, I believe in the first quarter, where I was watching the game with some, not live, but with three other hardcore Richmond supporters, and it was, in my mind, it didn't lead to a goal, it led to a point shot, but I made them rewatch, you know, using the Foxtel rewind thing, I made them rewatch a contest where a Collingwood player clearly took short steps going towards the contest because Tom Lynch was going in the other direction. Now, the commentators didn't pick it up, but don't think other AFL players haven't noticed that he hits hard. Like, every week he's putting on a big hit. So not only is a great player, he's a big, intimidating, old-school full forward who makes the other team take short steps when they're walking in, when they go into the hole.
Look, that's quite sensible, because... Like, he's agile for a big bloke, but you wouldn't describe him as being agile. There's a bit of, as we saw when he perhaps didn't have his legs under him, that he is still a bit on the train tracks when he's out on the lead. But It's a big, beautiful set of train tracks because you don't want to get in front of it, and he's a big target, and he's got good hands. Yeah, I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Nick, before I man crush on Soldo, I really think we should talk about Dusty and Prestia briefly, because I'm going to talk about the Ruxalort.
Oh, God bless. What, I thought, I mean, it was obvious. You know, Dusty's having a good year. He's not having a great year, and maybe the bar's been set impossibly high, but he is playing pretty well. And for all that people were raving about DeGoey's game, and he gets the occasional Dustin Martin comparisons, you know, it's really uncommon for someone to be as good as he is forward and also win as much ball as he does in the forward line, and particularly in a game, and I'm sure you're going to get to this, where we were, you know, we talked last week that we didn't get much support from the backup midfielders, and then in the first quarter, one of our top three inside midfielders go down against a team with a very good midfield.
Well, one of the things, and the commentator, I think it was Cameron Ling who pointed out, but he's exactly right. The Channel 7 did, credit where it's due, some really good work focusing on how clean Dusty was in the wet. They weren't flashy, high-profile possessions, but things that really busted the game open for us when we started to play well, Dusty was in the middle of it. You know, he's no longer...
Yeah.
But the thing about... we can talk forever about the 2017 Brownlow year, but that was by far Dusty's best season. This season where he's playing superbly, he's currently the 11th best player in the AFL, and that's okay. You know, he doesn't, Prestia's, has gone up, not a level, he's gone up several levels. So, you know, other people are picking up the slack. I'm loving this version of Dusty. And Nick, I just think, one of the questions I wrote down is, what, he had 37? He had two goals.
Yeah.
But if Dusty's getting more than 35 possessions, can you beat Richmond?
It's a good question. There were times earlier in the year when, you know, that long game where we were just butchering the ball and we had more forward 50 entries and we still got bogged. Like, that went, now that the structure of the team is working again, he's sort of the, not the cream, because he's part of the engine room, but he makes us, if the defence is functioning and the forward line is converting opportunities, yeah, Dusty has a good game. We are really, really hard to beat.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I mean, he wasn't the best player according to the rankings, but you have plus 35 possessions and you kick two goals, and like important goals, like one was a contested mark. He's just this version of Dusty, while he's not actually on the list, even though he's gone from number one player in the rankings to the 11th, he's not on the list of players who've dropped, of the top 20 players who've had a rating drop. So he's playing roughly at the same level he did last year, and that's good enough to win us a premiership as long as there's enough quality around him, which is the tragedy of the Cochin injury. I guess let's cover it now.
Yep.
Kills you. I was so nervous. Uh-huh. Even when we got a lead up, like, to lose one of your prime movers, like, just kills you in a game. In a game where you know that you're gonna lose the hit-outs, and we lost sort of what has become our lead defensive mid early on. It's devastating. And, you know, Nick, Neil Baum is a national treasure. He's just by far and away the best interview, I think, of any football club administrator. He's so honest. And he said he was so honest at halftime. He said, you know, this hamstring awareness is this new hip term that they've been using. He said, a hamstring tear is a hamstring tear. It's bad. We're worried about it. It's a minor one, but it's still really concerning. And he was really honest, and that's how I feel about it. I was so impressed that we fought through and won. I'm really worried about Conchon because I think we need him out.
Yeah, it's three in a year. Yeah, it's a really serious thing. There's no question he plays in the next two games. I'm clear about West Coast in the third game, and then, you know, he'd really... I mean, you could manage it of him doing match practice ahead of a first final, but you'd really prefer him to get some proper game time, the full finals.
Yeah, and look, Jack Graham's game, 13, amazing 13 tackles.
Yeah.
18 disposals. One thing I really liked about, just on the upside of Jack Graham's game, is his kicking was really nice. I think it's the best I've seen it.
His kicking was better. That's like, I thought maybe the conditions suit him a bit, but like, particularly in the third quarter, I thought his, just his awareness and, cleanliness of his disposal. And him and Bolton, I thought, we needed those guys to step up, and they did.
But I will say, Jack Graham, if you watch the two goals that Collingwood kicked just before half-time, it wasn't his fault, but he was twice involved in passages of play where Trent Cotchin, and, you know, Trent Cotchin is a Brownlow winner, so I'm making, it's a high bar I'm comparing him to, where Cotchin would have been cleaner with the first touch.
Yeah.
Graham is just not at the Cotchin level on really tight inside situations when he has to get the ball. And that's why
there's a bit of an offense-defense thing with him and Shai Bolton, because Shai Bolton, he is clean.
Actually, quite a defensive game by Shai. 7 tackles.
He didn't have as much ball as the past 2 weeks, but I really liked it. He's in very good form, and I really want him to re-sign.
Yeah, everything he does with the football is meaningful.
And the supporters love him. Like, he's at the stage, along with our Sydney Snack. They just get a buzz when he gets near the ball. It's really good.
Prestia. Brilliant game, according to the ratings, and just sharking Grundy all day.
Yeah, I love that. It almost, honestly, it seems sometimes we'd get a bit caught out when Soldo or Chol would win the tackle. Yeah, but Collingwood, and, you know, I mean, Adams was out, it was a loss, but still got Treloar, side bottom, Pendlebury. Like, that's a really experienced, highly paid, highly capable midfield. And Grundy himself wins a lot of ball. And I thought we neutralised them at the centre square.
So, well, actually, Nick, we drew even on the clearances for the game, which is a big win for us because normally we get flogged by them. Even is fine, but we actually doubled their centre clearances, or 7-15. I'm sure you won't be surprised to hear that Dion Prestia was the leading player on the ground with 4 centre clearances. We beat them in the most important contests when it becomes much more of becomes a 4-on-4 battle, and the way the rules mean, then by far the most important contests. And Prestia's clearance work is now, like, he's really becoming an elite mid, which, as you know, I would never have said about him at the start of the year.
No. It was there. Sometimes it's felt like a lonely spot in the Dion Prestia fan club. Because, again, like Lynch, his last season with Gold Coast wasn't his best. He had injuries, and it had been a couple of years since he'd been his best.
Yeah, he
was never a star, but he was very good for the Suns.
But that was the problem, is like, if you have one, you know, he had one magnificent offensive season for the Suns, and then he has a whole bunch of injuries, and you wonder whether it's ever coming back. You wonder whether he happened to be in a statistically advantageous position for a bad team. Like, there are lots of ways you could construct that was not meaningful. That we're never getting that Dion Prestia, or that Dion Prestia was a flattering version, because no one was watching those Suns. But we are now seeing, this is someone who's almost the best mid. Well, I mean, you can't take away from Martin, but he's the best full-time mid on a team, a top 4 team. It's great to see, and I'm loving this version of Dion Prestia, as is every other Richmond player, I'm sure.
Yeah, very much so. How did you feel when Cox had a shot for goal inside the, was it the first minute?
Oh, well, Nick, I really wanted to talk about this. The game, watch the start of the gap, wait, so I'm sure you noticed, the game could not have started worse. Okay. Grundy dominating tap, easy clearance.
Oh, yeah. Trelaw, yeah.
Yeah, and then straight to Mason Cox. Like, it was literally a rerun of all Richmond supporters' worst nightmare.
Soft free kick against Dave.
Yeah, which, again, a good reminder to us all that one passage of play. Yes, and then a minute or two later, they scored another goal because they got a shot for goal. No, it was a goal. That's right. It came because their first goal, so Cox missed a shot, and then their first goal comes when Jack gets a soft free kick paid against him, which is, as you know, Nick, is totally my trigger thing.
Yeah.
Because I think the umpire's treating him unfairly.
One of your triggers.
Yeah, but the other one's playing for the VFL now, so. soft free kick, so Jack sent me mad, so. Mm. It was such a bad start to the game, and then the next hour of the game was as good as it could have possibly gone. So it always reminded not to take the first 5 minutes of a game too seriously.
No. Although I am really enjoying this thing where we're about 40 points to 10 ahead at the end of the first quarter. It's pretty good fun.
Yeah, it was a good start on the game. We did, for the first bit of the season, Collingwood the best first quarter team, and now we are by far the best first quarter team.
Yeah.
All right, it's time to talk about...
Look,
sorry, go.
Oh, well, I was just going to say there is any number of heroes we can talk about, but yes, you're clearly busting to talk about the Ruckman.
Yeah. So to me, I know Chalder was doing the Saturday morning media and, you know, did some cool things, no doubt, as he always does. But, you know, Soldo's the hero of this story for me. You know,
I did love that photo you tweeted out of him afterwards.
Yeah,
bruised and battered.
Look at the photo as you know, Nick. I in a second grade amateur football version, I was a bit like Ivan Soldo, not very coordinated, but you know, job was to bash into the other team's more skillful ruckman and at least try and neutralise the contest. Look at that photo. If it's on our Twitter feed. Look at his knees, how bruised they are. You know, it's not where he's wearing ice, but that's like, you just look at that. He just, like, Grundy's an animal. He's a very strong man, and you could just see, and Soldo's just sitting back contented, knowing he wasn't the star, but knowing he did enough to help his team win.
He did his job.
Yeah, and just, he looked like a very contented man.
I like that you could tell that he's right-handed, just from that photo, because you can tell he's leaping off his left foot, and so he's the right side of his body's copying more of the first impact.
Yeah, nice one. So like I put on the, I think he's better for Grundy than Nank is, because we see Nank as workmanlike, but actually, just because he's a hard enforcer, he's actually a really skillful guy. Like Nank gets a lot of his. A lot of Nank's value is what he does with the ball and, you know, being a fourth midfielder, and being clever. Rosaldo's just a big, and the problem with that is that's Grundy's value too, and Grundy's just better at it and stronger, and so, he can dominate, Nank. But Soldo's just a big lump of a lad who makes a nuisance of himself, and it got, there were times, you know, like I said on Twitter that that goal he kicked, now people are talking about it was a soft free. He got one against him at the other end. There was clearly the umpires were. Sorry, go.
Yeah. And I didn't like either free kick, but they were consistent with one another. But where they had one ruckman reaching around the other one, they were paying a kick.
And the reason it happened was the tap before. That Soldo was too strong for Grundy, and it was in the forward line, and Grundy did not like it, and he got in Grundy's head a little bit, and then in the next tap, Grundy did put his arm around in a way where it was a cue to the umpire, it was a free kick that was going to get paid that reasonably often, so he was big enough and strong enough to worry Grundy enough to neutralise him, and he's competent when he gets the ball.
He's competent. He's particularly competent when he plays within his limitations. But I think he's He knows what he can and can't do at the moment. So, yeah, his disposable effectiveness is fine.
Yeah, and he doesn't fumble much, you know. They give a ball to him. They give a ball to him as a sort of last option in a handball chain, and he just stands there calmly and hand passes off to someone coordinated. And the chain continues.
It's one of my favourite things when you've got that old-fashioned ruckman, is just how hard those halfbacks and wings work to get the handball receipt.
Yeah, but, you know, that's all he needs to do, and he does it well. And when he has to kick, his kicking is fine, and his shots for goal are okay, you know. It was not a super convincing shot, but it was a fine little chip shot, you know, that made me think that he could do it again. There was a funny moment where he and Brundy, I think it must have been Grundy went forward, and he went forward with Grundy to match up against him. So there was a moment in the game where he was playing in the forward pocket and coming in from the side in a marking contest with Lynch, which I don't think will make him very popular.
Doesn't seem optimal.
No, I don't think that will happen too much in the future. But I love Soldo's game, and I think and you know we did get thumped in the taps, and a lot of that was to do with Joel being quite ineffectual as a second ruck. And you know, Soldo was beaten.
Their backup ruckman is nearly 7 feet tall, so it's a pretty unique situation.
It is. But he did enough. Even though Grundy was the top-rated ruck on the ground, he was only mid-rated, and that's enough. You know,
For a guy who has literally been the top-rated player in the AFL over about the past month or so, pretty good,
and has flogged us basically for the last 2 years. The last 3 years, he was brilliant.
Nank got Brownlow votes the first, was it round two last year? But otherwise it's been a mess.
I don't really count Brownlow votes as a valid.
He had a pretty good. He had a pretty good game. He was above 20 disposals. I think he had a goal or two.
I think wasn't Grundy the best rated player on the ground? Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's a long time ago. Anyway, very pleased with that. Also very pleased. Charles' game, it rinse and repeat on what we said last week. Lots of good things. The odd really good ruck contest, and then some terrible ones.
Yeah, the selling the candy was, he just had this amazing moment. Yeah, like that was beautiful. It's a nice follow-up book. His shepherd, how hard he ran to put on the shepherd for that very nice Tom Lynch goal where he ran into the goal square early on. That was nice work too. And did you know that he's the best, when you take his VFL form into account, he's the best set shot for goal amongst all the big guys.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's close to 70% on about 30 shots at goal. So yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah,
because it does look good when he kicks for goal. Like it looks extremely straight. Yeah. I don't, snapping around the corners seems a bit beyond him, but
I was disappointed he missed that shot.
Set shots are very nice. Yeah. But yeah, his set shots look gun barrel straight.
Very, very interesting game. Cox almost did it to us again. He had the odd thing, which he did the odd brilliant thing. Like he had a few taps and things like that, which were really good. But fortunately, then he disappeared. He also disappeared for essentially three quarters of the game.
So. Long periods of the game. Yeah, Cox got Bronx cheers in the fourth quarter. I honestly thought Maracek could have deserved a Bronx cheer by that stage as well. You know, it wasn't for some marshmallow soft goals in the final quarter, he would have had a equally terrible game. The defensive unit, obviously led by Grimes, but Asprey and Vlostone did their jobs as well. It was really nice. The Collingwood had periods where they were on top in midfield, and it just didn't matter. They had no winning forwards.
He didn't lead the team on intercepts, but Vossi did. But I thought just Grimes, the quality of his, he was just dominating the back line.
Yeah, and when they look, Collingwood are down on personnel, like having Ben Crocker out on the field at all, but just the sheer lack of respect that Grimes paid him when he was matched on him. That was pretty good fun.
So Baker, his game stood up well on tape. You know, there's nothing statistically.
It did, didn't it? Mm. I thought he improved over the course of the game last week, and I thought he sort of took that improvement and was sort of knew when to take the game on and know when to hold his position this week. And yeah, it wasn't the flashiest game, but it was, he certainly did his bit.
There was a moment in the third where the game had got semi-live again, and there was a loose ball in the centre square, and he just went hard as a nail, very hard at it in a must-win contest, and got a sort of half-hand pass out. It didn't break the play open, but it stopped a Collingwood forward surge. And it was a very nice contested possession. And he's clean. He's just, there was things he did the week before too, where, I almost made a video of it, that, he's clean when others are not in the wet. There's a real, I'm starting to think the Baker experiment might stick.
Mm. He stuck some tackles as well, which was a concern for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And because,
yeah, he weighs 72 kilos. Yes. Like, he's just not a big dude.
And the thing about the Sydney stack is, like, you're starting to think that he needs a rest, but he still had 20 touches, kicked a lovely goal, and, you know, remember that way, the break he created in the third quarter? That he kicked beautifully to Lynch, and Lynch just couldn't fingertip it, but it was just such a magnificent play.
He's got that football burst. His testing at the draft camp was nothing special, but yeah, just he is football fast.
It's the Jerry Rice thing. I think that because I don't know, they're fluid athletes and they don't decelerate. You know, they can hit top speed very quickly, and when you're not running in a straight line, I don't know. It's hard to explain.
Yeah, well, also when you read the play. Yeah, you look a lot faster.
So. By the way, I'm not sure quoting the 1980 San Francisco 49ers wide receivers. Anyway.
Yeah. While we're talking of small forwards, Rioli didn't finish off his chances, but that was the only thing between him and a pretty good game. I thought he really had the work rate up.
I love him going back because he's really clean, and then. You know, it was a few times in the back, you know, when he was sort of in the back 50 and he gets the ball and he's looking straight to break it forward and he's quick and he's evasive. Yeah, I love seeing him all over the field. And that's two games in a row where he's had plus 15 possessions, which is, you know, where we need to see him. His shots for goal, his kicking for goal has been abysmal though. Was abysmal.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know.
He can't kick 50. That's one thing I've noticed. Last week he had a long shot for goal just on 50, and he passed it off, and it didn't work. So this week he went for the shot, and he tried so hard to get the distance. It was not confidence inspiring. So, you know.
No. It's cliche to say it, but Kane Lambert played really well too.
He was brilliant. Really, but like that goal he kicked, where he just kicked the ball off the instep. I mean, I'm sure most people noticed that, but it was the one that was gold reviewed. If you only watched the game live, he was the one who kicked the ball to Lynch, and then he ran 100 metres to kick the ball through. He's a freak.
Yeah, good times. Oh, look, this version of Richmond is really lovable.
This is the most I've liked football since end of 2017.
Hmm. We're now premiership favourites too.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm completely behind that yet.
No, and it is a bit misleading because sort of we're at about 420 and Geelong's 450. I think the Eagles are $5. So we've all got pretty much the same percentage chance of winning, and you know, compared to any one team, the field is the overwhelming favourite. So we are slightly more favoured at the moment than the other teams, but we're by no means a certainty to finish top four, given we've got two pretty tough games to finish. So, yeah, it's good fun.
It's really exciting. We're very relevant. I think this is a good time. By the way, Nick, just for future episodes, I just want to put this thought in your head. There's a lot on the interweb. A lot of people don't like Short.
He was better this week. He was bad. He was actively bad last week. He was better this week, but he's 26. Still...
Yeah.
Yeah, and his running patterns were better, and he had some good kicks. Yeah, you go.
Oh, no, I hate it when he kicks 55 metres to them. He did that a couple of times.
Yeah. That is it. Yeah, that's frustrating. So I thought it was progress, but yeah, he's certainly not back to where he was last year.
Now, speak your premierships, Alex Rance.
Yep.
Yes. So there's been some in the football media, I was just listening to Triple M Saturday show, which is someone was pointing out that the recovery is quicker in the NFL. But on the other hand, players are more disposable, because there's more of them. There was some criticism that he started the hard running too early and it will affect his graft. And there's nothing you can do to undo that now, so they've just got to follow it through. Also, Barmy, again, was great, national treasure. When he talked about it on Saturday morning radio, he said, there's not a surgeon in the world, it's unlikely to get surgeon clearance, basically. Because apparently there's no way you can know for sure that the graft is solid, and it's just it's very difficult to clear someone in that situation. And frankly, looking at his Instagram highlights of him running,
although did you see the run forest run thing?
Yeah, that was funny, but I didn't think it looked like, you know, he was running very, you know, he was running how you run in preseason, but you know.
It looked quite stiff.
That's what I thought. I did not think, you know, some people said he looked great. He didn't look like great. He didn't look like Alex Rance to me. When Alex Rance, when he's at his best, he runs leaning forward.
He's cat-like. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's extremely fast side to side as well as in a straight line. Yeah. So.
Having said that, Nick, I may actually lose my mind if Alex Rance runs out in our first final.
Yeah.
Like with excitement. Positive excitement.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Yeah. Yeah. It would be impossible to be rational. You'd have your heart in your mouth, but yeah. It'd be a great sign.
I'm literally getting emotional thinking about it.
Mm.
Like it would be pro wrestling esque.
Well, actually, speaking of pro wrestling, so one of the great things about pro wrestling is that you need heroes. To cheer, and you need heels to boo.
I know where this is going.
And I think that having both the hero to cheer when our president was being interviewed with Eddie, and David King asked Peggy if she wanted to make a friendly wager with Eddie, and she just goes, "There's no friendship here." Respect. Cold. Respect. And then Eddie and family leaving early was just... It was delicious. It made an already fantastic evening even more fantastic.
Also, doing a lot of mansplaining to his kids, who are also men, but... You know, yeah. He's just like...
Yeah.
Just, I can understand why you want to leave early. You don't want to walk through a crowd of Richmond supporters teasing you, but just do it, mate. You know, leave.
Yeah. And him leaving got a pretty big cheer when they showed it on the scoreboard.
Yes, that was deeply satisfying. But you know, they'll have their chance against us again. So this feud.
Yeah, they will. But you know, enjoy the wins.
Exactly. And as we pointed out before the show, crucial for the top four. So.
Yep, absolutely. And so before the game, we had another win as well over at that funny abomination of what they'd done to Olympic Park. The Bearfield team dominated the Collingwood reserve team.
Yes. What stood out to you, other than the fact that Nank only played a half? What sort of stood out to you? And was adequate in that half. Yeah, 11 disposals, 16 hitouts. So if you double that, that's pretty one goal. That's very, you know, that's plus 20 disposals, 30 hitouts, and they got two goals. Like, that's, yeah, not bad.
So, I don't have the kids are travelling and don't arrive back till tomorrow. So I've had a blissful weekend of watching football. Yeah, Nank looked pretty good. Certainly, yeah, his skills are sharp and he looked above the level. But yeah, I'm slightly worried that he only did a half. Coming up against Max Gorn, but yeah, he looked really good.
Looked
fantastic.
I do not think you play Soldo. Think you play Nank this week. I think you give Soldo another week.
Well,
Soldo does not deserve to be dropped.
No, he doesn't. Look, nobody deserves to be dropped. But yeah, Gorn has a really big work rate. He's their best player by some margin. So yeah, and he's 6'9" and enormous. So yeah, I think it actually makes sense to keep Soldo. In terms of the sweepstakes to replace Colchin, it's a pity that Menadju is in no way a like-for-like replacement, because he had a really good game. He ran really hard, got in the right places, contested, finished off his work. Our best-performed midfielder was Jacob Townsend, really.
Yeah, so Caddy apparently will be back next week. He was just in play for injury. Obviously, he wasn't held out because he wasn't an emergency. So maybe they go with Cads because they want the big midfield. But Nick, you know me, I'm a romantic. 10 tackles, 23 disposals.
Crunching tackles where, you know, he leaves his feet and spears guys and separates their soul from their body. Like, I love me some Jacob Townsend.
And like, rationally, so the rational part of me says, well, he's only really been a viable player as a forward pocket. Like, that's where he played his best footy for us, and we don't need him there. He has to play midfield, where it doesn't look like he can get the footy at AFL level. That's the rational side of me. The rest of me thinks, bring him in! It's down the time! I'm just so happy every time he's in the team. So I really hope we bring him in as a respect for his VFL form. And also, you know, Melbourne are a losing team at the end of the year. You don't want this to be their statement game. You want to make life hard and
unsociable. Well, they are inept in a number of phases of the football, but very good at clearances and contested football. Do you stop, you know, neutralise their strength? Because if we break even inside, they're not going to be able to stop our transition play, and their forward line is pretty weak as well.
There is a chance that Jacob Townsend could end Nathan Jones's career. If ever two AFL midfielders should have a casket match, it would be those two.
Yeah. Callum Coleman-Jones, just the work rate. Right. Wins football, tackles.
28 hit outs.
Didn't have the kicking boots on, because he is a pretty good kick for goal. But yeah, I'm enjoying his work. Dan Butler's pretty solid. I'm enjoying the People's Champion Oleg Markov's work as a forward as well. I don't think there's a spot in the team for him, sadly, but yeah, he does look frisky.
So he's still on the contract next year, isn't he?
He is, yeah.
So there's something, maybe there's something there next year. Not to be dismissed. Mm. McIntosh, Dimmer said that we're trialling McIntosh further back, so he's learning a different role. Okay, sure. You know, it wasn't amazing statistically, but
he wasn't.
But you know, I don't think anyone expected. He's not that kind of player who would dominate statistically in the AFL. Could have got the ball a bit more. Mm. Marlon Pickett, who apparently is back in WA for a family issue, but will be first game in the VFL next week, according to Dimmer on Friday night.
Along with Jack Ross.
Yeah, so very exciting.
Mm. our mentioned maybe once before, but Luke English is in the team back after a series of mishaps and injuries and illness. He looked okay as a defensive. He was playing as a tagger. He looked okay. Neither him nor Riley Colley-Dawkins winning enough football, but they had 17 tackles. Well, 17 tackles between those two, and then when you added 10 tackles from Townsend's 10, you know, that kind of explains why Collingwood scored 25 points in across four quarters. Right, shutting them down.
It is like you feel sorry for the VFL film players for Collingwood, because Townsend may be the most vicious tackler in the AFL and VFL combined.
Yeah. And yeah, you can see that there are other guys who've got a rugby background, but he's brilliant.
Yeah, he tackles like his future in AFL as well. Yes, absolutely. All right.
So we're recording this. Look, we would have recorded it yesterday. Oh, actually, no, the AFLW have just lost, unfortunately.
Okay. But we'll cover it next week.
That's a shame. Sorry. But yeah, I'm enjoying the profiles of the players as they've been signed. Yeah, all good.
I'm waiting to see them play. Okay, I my emotional attachment will be based on who I like, who squibs it. You know, the same thing with the senior team. Right, Melbourne.
So I didn't get the time to finish doing the research, but I'm pretty much 99% certain that Melbourne have had noticeably more top 10 draft picks than any other Melbourne team over the past decade. And in fact, going back about 13 years. And all they have to show for it is that they're well on their way to yet another top 5 draft pick and disappointing season and questions about the coach. God, you wouldn't want to be a Melbourne supporter.
No, it's very depressing. The thing is, they're playing these sort of rather bland games. Like, they actually haven't been other than sort of against us, they've and the Cats. They've been in a lot of games.
They have. If their skills didn't fail them at crucial times against West Coast, they could have won that game.
Yeah, and you know the Saints were sort of, even though history recorded as a resounding thumping comeback, they arguably deserved to win that game.
No, Petrarca played well, and when Petrarca makes a big difference when he's playing well, because he is a seriously talented footballer.
Also, having said that, they had minus 21 in inside 50, so it wasn't a complete injustice.
No. But yeah, their forward line without Jesse Hogan this year has really failed to fire. Bailey Fritz has been dangerous for the last couple of weeks as a size forward, so maybe we send Grimes to him. Sam Wiedemann's been disappointing. The midfield wins a lot of ball. They're not super clean using it. Without Cochin, that's going to be a challenge for us. But I just maybe being complacent. But how we're moving the ball, playing at the MCG, I feel very confident about this.
Yeah, I'm fat, smug, and complacent. I also sort of, I talked myself into us really being in trouble against the last three or four Melbourne games. Because I'm sort of like you, I look at the fact they've got Max Cohen and all those high picks, and it adds up into my head into good team. We keep beating them easily.
Yeah, Clayton Oliver and Brayshaw, good, very good young players. Yeah, and yet. Yeah, Stephen May back and playing well.
It's part of
that'll be a good matchup, actually, with Lynch.
Yeah, the former Suns guys. Part of the reason I want Tanner is that it's sort of the, you know, he's the kind of guy that makes everyone nervous that they're going to potentially lose their spot.
The way for us to lose this game is for them to be really efficient in converting their chances in a way that they haven't done very often. That would be the big warning sign to me.
Yeah. Yeah, obviously they could well for goal. And, you know, a bad team that's underachieving, you don't want to give them a big sniff because they might, you know, they might decide
no, to lose coach under a bit of pressure. Yeah, they might have a real plan for their lives. Yeah, we've just got to take care of business the way we have in the first quarter, pile on the pressure, convert, take our chances, and just have that sense of that wall of noise and momentum. Yeah, take away their hope.
Yeah, so enough talk about Melbourne. I agree entirely, though, but it's really interesting, the top four now, and as someone pointed out, we may be in the last round playing the Brisbane Lions, and the winner finishes third and has to go to West Coast, and the loser finishes fourth and plays Geelong, which for us will be a home final.
Wow.
So
yeah, that would be quite the dilemma.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Just quietly,
it's very good for us if Sydney upsets the Giants next week.
Yes, that's from GWS right behind us. Like, that we're pretty much set that we'll get a home final at some stage.
With a very good percentage, yeah.
Yeah, but it's actually helpful for us at Essendon climbing because they have a bad percentage, so they're unlikely to overtake us and might actually help us. You know, we might get MCG final against either Essendon or Adelaide. That'd be funny to be playing Adelaide again at the MCG in the final.
Yeah, they're not going very well at the moment. Yeah, there are some very good teams at the top. Those bottom half of the eight teams are not scaring me right at the moment. But
no,
You never know what happens in the final.
As long as you get GWS and MCG, it's okay.
Yeah, that's just fine. Their form at the MCG is pretty consistently bad.
I want Collingwood to keep losing because they're the ones, they've got enough decent players coming back, but I still think they're a really good football team.
They're much. If Adam Stephenson and Darcy Moore back, they look noticeably better than they did Friday night.
But it's going to be a fascinating September.
And we've got to keep going. And we're up to our eyeballs in it.
Yes. Good times.
I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tigers.
For the strong and the bold who have been taunted and traumatised for over 37 years, this one is for you. Richmond, yes, Richmond, our premiers. 5:13 p.m. on Saturday, September 30, 2017.
It's just a celebration of all good things Richmond right now.
Come from nowhere.
Alex Rance.
He's never not going to go, was he? Was he?
Something fantastic, and we just got to keep riding away.
Martin, 3 votes.